Rebecca and Lewis on Triple J.
Hello and welcome to the podcast in a week when we were getting ready for the one night stand. It's going to be a big reality check and a wake up for Geraldton when they have, I'm imagining like, 20,000 people hit the one night stand, including artists like Alice in Wonderland, Boy and Bear, Earth Boy, plus all the special guests, lots of whom we spoke to this week.
Yeah, that's right. Bernard Fanning, who is going to pop up on stage with Boy and Bear, Powderfinger, of course, ever heard of him, the fan. He is going to be dropping by on this podcast to tell you what he's got planned, as well as Alice in Wonderland and Earth Boy, and our local as well, Az.
Yeah, Az was such a treat. If you haven't already seen triplej.net.au, the video that Az did sort of as a local tour guide around Geraldton, it's actually very funny. And Topic Thunder finished up this week. We've been doing a thing where we get Melbourne comedians to, well, international comedians at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, I should clarify, mostly.
Currently Melbourne comedians.
Yeah, that's right. Like, we've had a Russian, an Indian, a Scotsman, we've had it all.
And they all walked into a studio to tell a joke.
That's right. It all finished up with Mike Goldstein when he had only one topic to choose from. But before that, Felicity Ward, Daniel Fernandez, the guy that I was talking about just before from India, they all had a go at it and did quite well.
Yeah. Also, if you like cats, or if you're like me and you don't like cats and don't trust them and want to know more about them so they don't sneak up and hurt you in the evening, then you will want to meet Jackson Galaxy, because he hosts a show called My Cat from Hell. He's known as the Cat Daddy.
What if you don't like cats but you do like daddies?
Ooh. This is not the podcast for you. You'll hear from Jackson Galaxy as well.
We are heading to the One Night Stand in Geraldton happening this Saturday, and one man who's been teaching us the ways of Geraldton, the etiquette, the history, the good days, the bad days, is Az from Geraldton. Hello, Az.
What's going on?
Hey, well, not just excitement,
we're
just palpable
excitement.
We're so close
we can almost smell Geraldton on the wind.
Oh, look good.
Yeah.
So what's your big advice to people that are heading to Geraldton, making a road trip on a plane?
Well, I thought today we need to spend the time to talk about what to pack and what to not pack.
Yeah, I've already made a terrible mistake packing. I did a bunch of washing just before we left, and my housemate was supposed to hang out my washing for me. He didn't, so I had to pack all of my clothes wet. So I'm already on the real...
What type of arrangement's that, where your housemate does it for you?
Well, I was off to work,
you
as...
Do you make his bed?
I would make his bed if he asked. We're good friends.
what's your advice, Az?
Look, all right, let's talk about what to pack. Water bottles.
Oh, yes, good idea.
Now, apparently Geraldton's water tastes like water mixed with a little bit of diesel.
Oh, no.
I mean, I love the stuff. But I was talking to my cousin. She's from London. She says it's crook.
Right.
Yeah, right, but so BYO like, water.
Yeah, but I was like, you're from London, all right? That's desal. You drink poo water.
But is the water supply is all good, right? It's just like a little diesel-y.
It's all good, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'd butter it.
All right, what else?
All right, a good mix of clothes. Because if it's 5 degrees in the morning, it'll probably be 40 degrees during the day.
Oh, so cold nights? Because I checked the weather and it looked like it was going to be like 30 degrees and fine kind of every day for the next few days. I largely packed
pretty
shorts.
Messed up.
Okay.
Yes, but did you bring a jumper in the morning?
I may not have, but that's all right.
All right, what about a hat? A Legionnaire's hat, I'm sure, is what Alex Dyson will be bringing.
Oh, good bucket hat. Never goes stray.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Are you guys writing notes?
Yeah. I'm writing this down. Yeah. I started off with packed dry clothes. That was my own. That's on me.
Well, you failed that one already.
Yeah.
All right, shoes now, they're optional.
Oh, okay. I would normally suggest for any kind of music festival, shoes essential.
Probably, but you're not going to stand out if you're not wearing shoes.
Yeah, don't argue with Az, please.
Oh, no, sorry.
It's a layback town, right? Like, thongs, we wear thongs at weddings. It's quite normal.
Okay.
Oh, really?
All right, how many more have you got?
All right, not to pack. Now, I said this before on the video. Indicators, not needed.
Yeah, don't bring an indicator. Okay, it's freestyle.
I'm saying that, but in saying that, it is more of a WA thing.
Okay.
You know, if you've been to Perth, it's shocking. I mean, they pretty much try and teach you how to read minds because no one uses indicators.
There could be a lot of people around this weekend that are not from Geraldton originally. I think if we encourage a no indicators policy,
no, it's going to be mayhem.
There could be 10,000 people driving in and taking your advice, and it could get pretty interesting.
Yeah. Despite the fact that it's illegal as well.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Well, I'll hand out the window nibbles.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Kick it old school.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Finally, things not to pack.
Yep.
Don't pack an attitude, all right?
Oh, yeah. Really good. It's
Nobody
not tangible.
Needs that, but... right? We've all been working Monday to Friday.
There's no rules in this packing list advice. Okay, yeah, great. Don't
just
bring an attitude.
Out.
Just
it's going to be a good weekend. Enjoy yourself, all right? Got problems? No. Leave it at home, all right? No one wants to freaking deal with that rubbish, you know?
Okay, no, that's good.
Oh, as I feel all relaxed right. just hearing from you.
Is that cool?
Yeah, that's cool.
Perfect.
Cool.
Thank you. We look forward to seeing you, Az. It's going to be great.
Oh, look. One more thing before I go.
Yep.
Everybody who's ever lived in Geraldton has done something. Mm. That's sandboarding.
Oh.
I'm going to say this, you know, if you're going to come, you got to do this. You got to have a shot.
Really? I've never been sandboarding.
Really?
Yeah. Is it dangerous?
Well, everyone's only done it once. Like.
Right. You do it and then you get
it
done.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll show you why people only do it once.
All right.
How about that?
Can we hold you to this? Are you going to take a sandboarding?
Let's do it when you're in.
All right. We'll get in tomorrow. Let's do it. That's a date.
Let's catch up.
We have been chatting to a very lovely gentleman over the last few weeks, a man who we'd never met before, but a man who's been really our eyes on the ground here in Gero. His name is Az, and he joins us here in the studio. G'day, Az, how you doing?
Good, guys, how are you?
Yeah, good. How are you feeling? Like, you're feeling a good vibe in Gero at the moment?
I'm good, yeah. It's feeling good. I'm looking outside the window, looking at the Oval. Everyone's crazy, getting set up. It looks amazing, doesn't it?
It's a bit of a mad rush. In fact, you're a sparky. You know, you might be able to lend a hand at some point.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. No.
Not here for work, only pleasure. But we did actually meet you this morning when you took us out on an adventure. You threw down a challenge yesterday. Can you tell us what the challenge was?
Well, look, I said before, if you guys are coming to Geraldton, you've got to give sandboarding a crack. Everyone's done it once. And I'm sure now you've figured out why. We do it only once.
Well, I certainly have. I mean, I think we all have different reasons. Veronica didn't like climbing up the hills. I didn't like the giant electricity bolts in my head.
Yeah, so there was an electric shock that Lewis experienced this morning, which we talk about now because it happened. But we were also speculating about it in the very beginning when we met Az from Geraldton. These beautiful big sand dunes. It was complete darkness in the sky, though. Huge bolts of lightning, thunder were just above our head as we... met Az for the very first time. G'day!
What's the go with sandboarding in the wet?
Well, I haven't done it before, so we'll give it a test hit, I reckon.
Great. Why haven't you done it before, though?
In the rain, in a storm, because the highest point, you tend to get struck by lightning.
Well, luckily, it's never been a better time to be shot.
You are a tall man.
Is there actually a chance? Is that a joke?
There is a chance, yep. But, I mean, let's stand up next to each other.
Mm.
I mean, I think
it's gonna
Lewis.
Be me.
Yeah, Lewis.
Be Hobber. He'll go down. And you know what? We can't just leave a man down on the field, I reckon.
And... Well, if he's at the top, at least we can roll him over the edge and get him to safety.
Thanks, guys.
No worries.
Yeah, always good to have friends in a situation like that. We laughed at the time, didn't we? We laughed and laughed.
We laughed.
We did.
But who could know what was going to happen? We climbed up the dunes, and originally, as that's why you were saying people only ever sandboard once, unless you have a buggy.
Yeah, that's right.
Because those dunes are huge.
Yeah, and climbing it once is hard enough.
Jeez, I was pooped. I was very puffed the entire way up. Didn't want to admit it to anyone. You said that we didn't have the body for it, and I was offended.
Yeah, a little bit offensive.
I'm sorry. But I'll take that back. You know, you did look like dune rats up there.
But this is what happened when we got up there, because as Veronica was saying, there was rolling clouds, pitch black skies, lightning everywhere, and we were all having a bit of fun, but then it all turned pretty dark.
Pretty scary.
You
want to
go first?
All right. Ready?
Hey. Grip it and rip it, Az.
Grip it and rip it.
Make it to the bottom. We love you.
Hey, this has been good. Yeah.
This has been really good.
Yeah. I'm glad we met each other.
Me too.
For a while, it was like we were pen pals, you know, talking, not seeing each other, and now we did it.
This is so beautiful.
I feel like we got a bond, all right? So if I don't make it, I love you too.
Yeah.
Go on. We'll go on. All we'll right. Carry on your memory.
Carry on. Here we go.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. He's going so fast. He's hitting the lip.
Oh,
shit. Oh, he nailed that.
I legit got hit by something.
We gotta go now.
Yeah.
Hey, we just got struck by lightning. We gotta go.
We just got struck by lightning. We gotta go.
Yeah. It was pretty wild.
I love how the thunder actually just sounded like an amateur theatre production. Like they put it in post. We didn't. It was for real. It was real scary.
Have you been checked out?
No, I feel good though.
You feel good.
Yeah.
Jacko in Townsville said, "Did the lightning leave a scar on your head, Lewis?" Oh, had to ask.
I was really hoping that like I'd get some sweet new nickname like Sparky or something, but I'm just going to stick with Harry Potter, aren't I?
All right, we want to ask you up next as about rock lobsters or crayfish. The jury's out on that.
You're with Veronica and Lewis. We are here in Geraldton at the Wantheller Oval, the site of the One Night Stand. The stage is pretty much up now. It's been put up over the last few hours while we've been here. We are joined by the man about town here in Geraldton. He was telling us a story before about how he's really... you're a big deal now, aren't you, Az? Remember when you went to Bunnings?
Oh, that's right. You know, you released the video. I became famous on the internet, so I thought, oh, you know.
You've blown up.
Yeah, I've blown up. Here we go. I'm going to go get harassed now. Went to Bunnings, of course. Yeah. Thinking I'm going to sneak in, got to get something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want too much attention. Walk in, you know, no one's seen me yet. Oh, okay. Walk through the aisles. Oh, no one's seen me yet. Grab what I needed. Paid for it. Almost walked out and still no one said anything.
Oh, Az.
I turn around, fella, and say, hey, everybody, it's me. I'm here.
It's me. It's
your
Az.
Local hero. Come on.
We've been asking people down the street about you, actually, in coffee shops and whatnot. Do you know Az from Jera? And they're like, yeah, he's a legend.
Oh, in fact, we got a text in from David Eddie Edwards. Saying about to hit the road to Perth, my hometown, Jero, the local legend Az is actually a good mate of mine. Awesome to hear his angelic voice on the Triple J Soundways. And then he says, got a bunch of stories if you want some dirt on the lad.
Oh, Eddie is actually, he was my best man at my wedding. Oh. So what's up, Eddie?
How? We've been loving the delicacies here in Geraldton. Everyone talks about the rock lobster. Do we call it rock lobster?
No.
God damn it.
Crayfish.
What? We got told it was rock lobster.
Who told you that? Someone who was 90?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Definitely cray.
We got like a little package of like, hey, here are some things you need to know about Jero before you get there. And one of them was... they're called rock lobster. But then we just got a text in saying, just wanted to you guys to know, our crayfish don't have claws and rock lobsters do. So technically they're not rock lobsters, they're crayfish. So, sorry.
That's right.
So we've got some in front of us right now, actually, which got specially bought in by a man who I had an incident with on a plane.
Mm.
It's a pretty weird circumstance. I was telling Matt and Alex about it this morning. Long story short, a guy on a plane from Sydney to Perth spilt beer all over me. He felt really bad about it. He was like, oh, can I buy you something when we get to Perth? I was like, nah, don't worry about it. Honestly, it's no big deal. And he was like, no, I insist. Anyway, I said, I'm only in Perth for a little while. I'm heading to Jero. And he was like, I'm from Jero. I've got a farm in Jero. Can I get you a rock lobster? I think he said crayfish, actually. and I said, sure, of course you can. That'd be great. So he's just dropped them off. He said, how do you want it cooked? I said, however it's done. It seems to be vinegary.
Looks good.
Do you want to try some right now, Lewis?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
Ooh,
and
he's
it's in a little Tupperware container. I wouldn't say it's glamorously put together. You can try some too.
Oh my God, that is really good.
Yeah, as a Jewish lady, I will not be tasting it.
As a Jewish vegetarian, it really ticks all the boxes of no for you.
This is a real McCoy. This is good stuff.
This is good. Mm. Is this good cray for you, Az?
This is. You know, my mum, she didn't breastfeed me. She brought me up on crayfish.
Oh, of course.
No, this is why I'm the man I am now.
Okay.
Hairs on your chest if you eat this. It's good.
Tough exterior but soft within. That's how I would describe you, Az.
The last little bit of local knowledge we need to get from you, Az, before the One Night Stand tomorrow. Someone's written in and said, hey, guys, I just heard, is there going to be a sack circle going down tomorrow at the One Night Stand? Can you confirm, is that something filthy that we shouldn't be talking about on the radio?
That sounds like something pretty filthy.
Hacky sack?
I wouldn't want to be involved in any sack circles going
on. Could be hacky sack.
Yeah, goon bag?
Could be.
Fingers crossed for the hacky sack.
Yeah.
Because it is a drug and alcohol-free event. There will be no goon bag, but bring a hacky sack if you want.
Yeah, bring your pants, though, please.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Thanks,
Hands
Az.
Hands off sacks.
Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Sounds good. See you guys.
We are just so excited for the One Night Stand in Geraldton tomorrow. We're backstage here already having a look at how the stage is being set up, the festive-looking rides that are at the back there.
Let's be honest, that's what you're most excited about now. You didn't know that they were here.
It has caught my attention. I'm desperate to go in the Gravitron. You know what? Alice in Wonderland's on. Forget about it. I'm in the Gravitron. But one of the big, exciting acts that's heading to Geraldton for the One Night Stand is Earth Boy, currently in transit. How you going, Earth Boy?
Good, thank you.
Whereabouts are you at the moment?
I'm at the Badgingarra Tavern, of course.
Oh, where? The mighty Badgingarra.
Yeah. Is that in Badgingarra?
Look, I think it's about a couple of hours north of Perth on the way to Geraldton. And, you know, whenever I'm in these parts, I always try and stop by the Badgingarra Tavern. So it seemed like a good place to do an interview.
Yeah. Are you picking up some sort of merch, maybe a memorial stubby holder?
No. Well, I haven't actually checked out the gift shop at the pub, the tavern. But I'll be sure to check it out. We've already tried to kind of pull in at some little secondhand joints and whatnot along the way. So we're pretty much trying to get a collection and smash the baggage allowance on the way back home.
So how many people are you travelling with? What sort of a convoy are we talking?
We got about 10 people in a 12-seater. Which includes my band, which includes our crew member, and it includes Kira Carew and Bertie Blackman, and it's just basically singing along to Lauryn Hill songs, and it's ridiculous.
Who's made the playlist? Because we're having a competition here amongst our team. We've all made a mix CD, and on the drive home, we all get to play 1 hour of it, and then we get to pick the best.
Kira was on the stereo before and she couldn't quite work it out, so she just started playing random songs, so we got a bit of an insight into what was really in her phone.
It was Broadway musical songs, wasn't it? Hopefully.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was Rose Tattoo, but I think I might have got it a bit wrong. But if you've ever wondered where Kira got a chop from, it was not Angry Anderson, but maybe he was a bit of an influence somewhere along the way.
Daughter of the Light from Earth Boy featuring Kira Peru. You're on Triple J, and Earth Boy is going to be there tomorrow at the Triple J One Night Stand here in Geraldton, right where we are. Earth Boy, he's halfway. He's at a tavern, and he just used that 3 minutes to quickly pop off and grab a frothy. How you doing, Earth Boy?
Yeah, pretty good. I also found out in the meantime that it's Skimpy Friday here tonight. So,
Did you say
Skimpy or Gimpy?
No, Skimpy.
Oh.
Does that mean people wear less clothes or the prices are cheap?
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe like when we rocked up, the customers here was like, okay, here's the Skimpy entertainment for this evening.
Oh.
And we are ready to do it too. Not something I've told the band yet, but anyway, I'm not listening to the radio.
See if you can get some tips on the way through. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, let's make it Skimpy Saturday tomorrow. I've got a small dress.
I've got some dick stickers. Let's get them out.
So how have your rehearsals been going?
Pretty good. We've only had Bertie and Sampa and Kira in last night, but been working with the band for a little while, so we've been plugging away quietly behind the scenes, all trying to, get the racehorse ready for Geraldton. Mm. I've been really looking forward to this gig. So
yeah, it's looking amazing here. It's gonna be so amazing. But that track particularly has a good bit of horns in it. Are you bringing any horns with you?
I'm not bringing any horns, but I just still got a couple of roles that are left to be filled. So we might, get some vocalists who can make something reminiscent of a horn sound.
Right. Some mouth trumpet.
Still gonna get into town.
Oh, shit.
Anything is fine. Just, anything is fine. It's kind of hip-hop. We'll just overlay it on the track and it will compress it a little bit. Everybody's welcome. It's a very egalitarian genre of music.
Very jazzy. It's exciting.
Mm. Sampa the Great, when she came in this morning to do Take 5 with Zanro, brought her entire family. Has she been bringing her family to the rehearsals?
No, they didn't, but they just got into town and she was describing a little bit about the family, and they're all in her little house in in Sydney, and I mean, it's pretty exciting because, you know, she's obviously not Australian. She's come over here to study, and yeah, it's just it's such a massive. I can't imagine how much of a buzz it will be being her family and coming over and just saying, "Oh my God, what have you done since we last seen you?"
Totally.
Yeah, she's just blown up. It's going to be amazing. The other thing that you're going to be doing tomorrow is hosting a little workshop with some of the local musicians. What have you got planned for that?
Nothing.
Nice. Great.
So just offering wise advice?
Recruiting mouth trumpeters.
I'm hoping that... Look, I'm really looking forward to it. It's always fun, you know, talking some crap about music. And I mean, you can never underestimate what it's like being in a town that's, you know, a fair distance away from the capital cities and what it is like having access to, you know, the music industry and whatnot. So it's, you know, when the occasion kind of presents itself where you can actually sit down and have a little bit of a chin wag about music and what people are doing, it's always more valuable than you can kind of realize at the time. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, if you run dry on things to talk about, you can always just bring back Skimpy Fridays and teach them the ways of that.
Skimpy Friday and footy, both of which I am I'm speaking from a position of great experience.
Nice. So we're looking forward to having a kick here at the Wonthella Oval with you tomorrow, Earth Boy, and for you to take the stage. Thanks heaps. Good luck for the rest of the drive. Stay safe on the road.
Thanks for the chat.
See you tomorrow.
We're very excited to welcome to the studio someone who is going to be smashing the stage in Geraldton on Saturday night. She's just landed from LA. Alison Wonderland.
What's up? Hi.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome home.
Thank you.
Just so excited to have you in the studio and in the country again.
Too.
Have you been to Geraldton before?
I don't believe so.
I reckon you'd know.
Yeah, I don't believe I have.
It's a long way to go to accidentally.
You know what? Then I'll have to say no. Mm. I haven't.
Do you know anything about Geraldton?
Are you?
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Hey, we just got a question though from Chantelle on the text line saying, "Will you be DJing at the Vibe nightclub in Geraldton after party?"
Are you inviting me?
Well, I guess that's one thing to know now, that there is a Vibe nightclub that is having an after party.
Yeah.
I like that.
There's also another question that came in on the text line that really got Veronica excited because she wanted to talk about chicken salt.
Oh. Yeah. So Davo and Bendigo said, just read Alice in Wonderland's quote on the NT News site about chicken salt, which I read that too today.
That's really strange because I haven't really spoken about chicken salt, you know, vocally for maybe a year or so. But, I mean, I do feel very strongly about it.
You're on the record.
What did the quote say?
It was basically what you said on Instagram about a year ago, which, weirdly, I remember
no
reading that.
Chicken salt in America.
Yeah, and you were bummed about it.
Do you know what I did recently, which is actually quite... So this is very relevant to my life without anyone realizing it, but I went on Amazon whilst I was in LA and ordered chicken salt from Amazon and got it sent to LA. And then I showed it to my friends there and they did not understand chicken salt or why it was the most amazing thing to put on chips ever.
Oh, wow. Maybe you could start some sort of, you know, backdoor dealings in LA of chicken salt.
Just like a food truck of just chicken salt on everything.
Amazing.
Pancakes, chips, whatever.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Geraldton because you're bringing some pretty exciting people with you.
Yes.
Who are doing some things that we don't know what they are.
I mean, they're probably going to be singing because they're singers.
Sure. All right. I guess when I said I didn't know what they were doing, I assumed singing.
I've got Ben from Safia. I've got Patience from The Greats and Jess Kent.
So how do you know Jess Kent?
I've just been a fan of hers. I've been following her work. I did a mix on Radio 1 earlier this year and I kind of showcased some songs that I was liking. Oh no, it was last year. It wasn't even this year. And I put Get Down in there and I then just started following what she was doing. She's talented. She's amazing. So yeah.
What about Patience?
Okay, this is a sick story. Before I was signed to a record label and I was making music under Alice in Wonderland, I was making music under the name White Fang. Mm-hmm. And I actually did I produced a versions album for The Greats, which got released on Due Process. This is like 5 years ago. And I was making it all in my bedroom. And that's how I met Patience, and I was the biggest fangirl of her ever. And, yeah, so it's just cool to reconnect like that because I it was called The Version Suicides, this little Versions EP that I made for them.
Wow.
Which was literally her voice and then all my production under it. Yeah.
Wow.
Got released, yeah.
And so have you been rehearsing so far with Patience?
That's happening tomorrow, and I'm way too excited to see her. Because I just want to be her best friend. She's so cool.
Well, there's heaps of questions coming through, and we want to get to a few in a sec. But right now, let's put on a track that I am sure you'll be doing on Saturday because you're bringing Brave with you. This is Already Gone, featuring Brave and Lido.
Shout out, Lido.
That is Already Gone, featuring Brave and Lido from Alice in Wonderland, who joins us in the studio.
Oh, I'm so stoked you guys play this song. It's probably one of my favourites off the album.
Yeah, so you wrote it ages ago.
Yeah, in about 2010, that was I made that in 2010. And no one really gave a... I can't swear. I keep remembering.
Say shit. Shit's fine.
No one really gave a shit about anything I was doing. So I like put it to bed and it was just sitting on my iTunes. And then I was hanging out with Lido and I played it. I was just playing him some of my old stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I was making, like, you know, years ago. Ha ha. And he goes, hold up. You didn't do anything with this song? And I was like, no. And he's like, Jesus, give me this. I want to play like gospel chords over this real bad. And then that's how the new version of Already Gone came.
Amazing.
And we decided to just put on the album.
And was it originally with Brave as well?
Yeah. It was originally with Brave. He just did that in a bedroom.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And now they're all coming back together.
It's crazy because these are all my actual friends who I, you know, cry and laugh with. So it's really cool that I get to make music with them too.
Well, there has been a lot of questions coming through on the text line. Amy from the Northern Beaches, you've got one for Alice in Wonderland.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Yeah, good.
Hi.
Hi. Alison, you mentioned before the song that you are first time bringing live vocals into your gig on Saturday. I'm just wondering, will you also be busting out your cello?
I actually just had that conversation. If I can get a hard case for my electric cello and get it, you know, transported over to Geraldton, I'm down. I did do a song on my first EP called Space, which has cello, and I really want to play it. So if I can, I will definitely try.
Yeah, wow. And also, if anyone has seen Alice in Wonderland's Instagram recently, he's been putting a bit of cello on there. This is a version of Run.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was...
What?
That's amazing. How'd you get the audio off my Instagram, you nerd?
It's 2016.
Oh, my God.
We have all the technology.
Yeah, that was me. I literally needed to play because I needed an instrument, you know? I was just always on the computer and someone in LA had one to lend me and I haven't given it back yet. And I was just mucking around in my room.
The other incredible thing that you did recently was just quietly give a little lecture at Harvard.
Yeah, that's the story.
So my manager and I were actually invited by Harvard Business School to give a lecture on the music industry. And I guess the part that I focused on was kind of staying real and having longevity by being yourself. And I feel like that speaks a lot louder than someone that, you know, is trying to be something that they think everyone wants them to be. So, yeah, we did a speech at Harvard Business School and it was amazing.
Was it to mostly like Harvard business students?
Yeah, it was open to anyone who was at a university. But, yeah, it was mainly Harvard business students and then some kids came from other universities to listen and ask questions and I stayed as long as they needed to. And, yeah, it was more just, you know, obviously my manager was handling more of the business-sided questions, but as an artist, I think, you know, being honest and being yourself is a really important thing to kind of staying where you are, because I feel like once someone's making music to just make music or try and be relevant, that, I mean, people smell bullshit a mile away. So, yeah, I was kind of just like speaking about just being yourself and that's just, I don't know. I don't really know. I'm honestly just myself, and that's the best advice I can give anyone. But yeah, we did speak at Harvard Business School, and my dad is actually, he went to Harvard, so
really?
I called him up. Yeah, he went to Harvard Medical School.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah, that's why I lived in Boston as a kid. Huh. I mean, at the time I didn't really care, but yeah, I called him up and I said, "Hey dad, I'm doing a lecture at Harvard Business School," and he laughed.
So good.
And he's like, "Wait, really?" really? I'm like, yes, your daughter that didn't graduate university is doing a lecture at Harvard Business School.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess you guys have seen how many years it's taken me to do this.
I know. We were just saying it before, like before you came in. I remember when we were filling in for like the doctor,
Friday.
Yeah. You came in and did a Friday mix
and
for us years ago.
And you were surprised that I did it. I did like 20 songs in like 20 minutes.
I was losing it because you played a lot of good hip hop, a lot of great hip hop. And I was like, this person is the best.
And you just come back from Ibiza, I think.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really exciting to have you back in the country, back on Triple J, and doing the one night stand.
And I'm going to eat all the chicken salt.
Awesome. Well, we can't wait to see you on Saturday, even before then, I'm sure. Have fun and good luck with rehearsals.
Thank you so much.
It's Veronica and Lewis. Triple J.
And we are joined by a Perth comedian who's currently doing his Melbourne International Comedy Festival show, Mike Goldstein. Does words good. It's Mike Goldstein. Hello.
Hey, guys.
we are playing this game.
Topic Thunder.
It is the very last day. If this were a game of musical chairs, Topic Thunder, everyone would have sat down and you'd be the one standing, Mike. Does that analogy work?
Great.
Does it?
Yeah.
Kind of. And you've chosen canoes because you had no choice. What is your story about canoes?
You know, it's a tough one because I don't think many people would have a canoe story. But like I mentioned earlier, I was raised in Kansas, which is very redneck hillbilly country. So I was basically, I grew up on a canoe. I didn't actually, but it's very like we would do things called float trips. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. And that's where you get a bunch of canoes, a bunch of friends, a ton of booze, and you paddle upriver for a day, camp out overnight, and then float back down to where you started the next day.
Oh, that what's redneck about that? You'd have to be racist the whole way or something?
Yeah, basically. That's the part of the fun. And then it's the most dangerous thing because, I mean, what could be less safe than a bunch of teenagers drinking on a river in a precarious boat, right? And it was such a messy kind of drunken adventure. Paddling upstream was exhausting, but then it sounds like the setup for a bad horror film, actually, now that I think about it. But then the camping was, you know, on that first night was always just out of control, too much drinking, you know, teenage kids. And I had an incident in my tent where I woke up at about 4 a.m. in the morning and was too drunk to figure out how to get out of the tent, but had to pee very, very urgently. And the only zip that I could find was the window flap. And as anyone who's been camping would know, the window, it still has a mesh screen type cover.
Yeah.
But that was my only access to the outside world. So I just had to mush myself up against the screen and hope and pray that the majority of it went to the outside of the tent.
Such a funny visual.
Little pacive.
Oh, man. If there's any early rising campers, they would have been horrified.
Yeah.
But I think the dude that was most upset was my tent buddy. Not happy at all.
That is a disaster.
Oh, total disaster. And so, you know, my last name's Goldstein, so one of the guys being very creative labeled me Goldstein for the rest of the trip.
You're lucky it only lasted for the rest of the trip. That is classic.
Oh, yeah. Mm. But it's not like I just told that story on national radio.
For future reference, if someone does get into trouble and find themselves in a similar situation, how much, like, gets through a mesh like that?
Yeah.
Not a lot. I mean, you know, you try and match holes. That's disgusting. It's seriously, if anyone was on the outside of a tent, it would have looked like a baby mouse dribbling through the other side.
Oh, yes. Well, if you'd like to see Mike Goldstein doing a show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, it is at Fort Delta, which is opposite the Melbourne Town Hall for the remainder, and then you're doing Sydney Comedy Festival too. Thank you so much for dropping by.
Thanks for having me.
And right there, a little track that might ring a bell, Powderfinger, Don't Want to Be Left Out, came in the Hottest 100 at number 46 back in 1998. But let's be honest, they smashed Hottest 100 every year they released music. And the man who was at the front of Powderfinger for many, many years, well, for all of the time they existed, was Bernard Fanning. Hey. G'day, Bernard. How you doing?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, great. So when do you head off to Geraldton? When do you start to commute?
I leave tomorrow.
Okay.
So I'll be there tomorrow night.
Have you been to Geraldton before?
No, I've never been to Geraldton. I've been up that way. I think with Powderfinger, we played in Karratha for some Triple J thing a long time ago. Maybe it was a one-night stand or one of those things.
Yeah, there
I can't
was
remember what they were all called.
Many years ago, there used to be another runway, one-night stand-ish thing, but with a different name. Yeah. It was a bit smaller.
Yeah, so maybe it was that. But yeah, but I mean, that's miles away.
But you,
WA is massive.
Yeah, well, that's true. It is a big place. But you've played a bunch of big Triple J events, including the 40 Years Beat the Drum concert last year, where you did an amazing performance with Tom Jancek and Vance Joy. What a trio. Have you watched that back at all?
I saw it just after it. I mean, no, what I meant to say is I watch it every day.
Yeah, well, I'm sure many do. It's a goddamn hit. What have you been up to recently? I know you got spotted at Blues Fest recently. Any highlights there?
Yeah, I had a great time. I went most of the weekend, actually. It was really good. Well, yeah, but I liked all the dad rock kind of stuff that was on, like Jackson Browne and Tedeschi Trucks, all the guitar kind of stuff I was really, really into. So, and I did see about 30 seconds of Kendrick Lamar, but it was pretty impossible.
Yeah, I imagine it would have been packed. Is there any pressure in situations like that at festivals for you to just jump on with someone you know?
Not really, because I usually lay pretty low and wear a hat.
Well, you still got spotted. Unsuccessful it was.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we were hearing from the guys from Boy and Bear the other day that they gave you a nervous phone call. Can you tell us about that?
Did they? Oh. Well, no, we were just kind of organising what was going on with this show. Whenever people like that I mean, I've met those guys before, but I don't really know them really well. And so I usually just put on like a Barry White kind of voice.
Yeah, like to intimidate people.
To try and, you know, make them feel a little, intimidated, I guess.
Good.
No, it's all going to be fun. I am really looking forward to it, actually. I love that band. I think they're great. They've got such good tunes, and they're not really that much like a lot of other bands that are around at the moment. So they're pretty traditional, I guess, in their approach to writing songs. So I'm pretty excited at getting up to play with them.
Yeah, so when you do get up, is there any clues you can give us about what you will be doing with them?
Clues, or do you just want me to tell you?
Well, you could tell us. But, you know, it's also one of the things where it's like, do I want to get my Christmas present the day before Christmas, or do I want to hang on to it and have
just
the least sense
it.
Of anticipation?
Yeah.
We're doing a medley of Iron Maiden songs.
I knew it. Classic you guys.
Yeah. In a jazzy kind of style.
Oh, good. Yeah, finally. Yeah.
That works. Okay, cool.
It's something like that anyway, I think. That's not actually it. We're just going to do a few of each other's songs.
So you been spending much time together in the lead up?
On the internet and on the phone only, because I don't live in Sydney. Mm. But we think we're pretty organised, and we're going to get together tomorrow night and have a rehearsal.
Yeah. Can you rehearse via Skype? Is that a thing musicians do ever?
Yeah, I think so, but we haven't done that.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's called a scan as opposed to a jam.
Yeah. Oh, look at you. So 2016.
On Triple J, will you be hearing that song at the One Night Stand on Saturday in Geraldton? 1,000 Faces, maybe, just maybe, Bernard Fanning will be getting up and singing in that song too. He joins us on the phone right now. How you going, Bernard?
Good. That sounded a bit like Iron Maiden. Jazz.
Yeah, exactly. So you were saying just before that you've had a busy week. You've been in studio. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, we just finished mixing a new record. So Nick Bedia is the guy that produced most of the Powderfinger record. He and I have set up a studio together, and we've just spent the last, I don't know, few months making a record. So it's We just finished it.
How exciting. When's it going to be out? Do you know?
In a few months, like July, middle of the year, July, August, sort of time around there. I don't know yet. I haven't been told by the big bosses yet.
Do you sound very relaxed about it? Did it come together really quickly and easily?
Not really, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, well, I haven't released a record since 2013, so I've been writing kind of the whole time. I've actually got a ton of stuff. So I'll have a bit more info about it when we get a bit closer to it, but I've got about 4 years worth of stuff to release. So, it came together over quite a long time, but I was living overseas with my family for a year again in the meantime. So I just spent that year just sitting by myself, playing my guitar and piano. I kind of returned to the way that I used to write. Before I made my last record, which is just to sit around strumming guitar and, you know, growing a moustache.
Oh, amazing. So where were you overseas?
In Madrid.
Oh, great. Yeah.
So is it sort of stylistically similar to Departures, the 2013 album?
No, not really.
How's it different?
It's a departure, Lewis.
Okay, sorry.
Oh. It's kind of, like I said, it's kind of returning to acoustic guitar driven stuff. I mean, there's some rock songs on there as well. So it's kind of a bit of a mix at the moment, but it's pretty traditional, I guess. I went back to writing the way that I always used to, which I was trying something different when I made Departures, where I kind of was just looking at a different way to kind of construct songs, I guess in a more modern kind of way. And so this time I just really felt like getting back to hearing timbre, you know, hearing acoustic guitars and hearing drums, acoustic drums and pianos and stuff like that. I'm pretty tired of hearing stuff that's made in a computer.
Mm.
So I just wanted to kind of step around that and use a bit more of traditional techniques, I guess.
Yeah.
Well. And get back to putting a lot of emphasis on what the lyrics and the melody are doing.
Yeah, no wonder you love Boyan Bear. That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's what I was talking about saying that that's the way they seem to approach their songwriting as well.
Yeah, well, the only thing that could possibly be more exciting than you releasing a new solo album is you appearing on Play School.
That was pretty exciting.
Tell us about that. Is that the highlight of your career so far?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my oldest friends who has also been my tour manager for 25 years or whatever, he was saying, this is the best thing that's ever happened to you. You know, he was there when we went on Letterman and all that sort of stuff, and he got, this is way better.
This is it.
Yeah, it was good. I just kind of hung out with Humpty and Jemima, and UMI and Dan Sultan were there the same day, actually. So it was really fun. Yeah. And, I mean, it's a real institution, isn't it? Everyone watched it at some stage. Mm. I actually, when I started watching it, it was black and white. That's how old I am.
What? So, no.
Yeah. That's not true.
I'm serious.
Sorry, I don't believe
we didn't
it.
Have a colour TV in our house until 1977. So,
oh, my God. Well,
yeah. You guys were just a twinkle in your parents' eyes.
Oh, barely. Yeah, my parents weren't even together. Well, out of time.
They weren't even born, probably.
Yeah. Well, Play School is an institution, and so is the One Night Stand, and we can't wait to see you there, Bernard Fanning.
Thanks, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
Triple J. It's Veronica and Lewis.
We're joined by comedian Felicity Ward in the studio, and we're down to the last 2 days of
Topic Thunder.
Ooh, so spooky.
Who did that?
I know.
Who did the voice?
His name is Darren.
Yeah.
He works here. He makes the promos here at Triple J.
He did a great job, didn't he?
Oh, he has such a versatile voice. Yeah. Anytime you hear a voice on Triple J that isn't high and nasally, it's Darren.
Yeah, and it's very, right. He's got a real Triple M vibe. It sort of gives
it's
us
rad.
That. Yeah.
I've been smoking a bit, so maybe I can go super low if you need drop it. No, it's topic, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the pun.
That's the pun, Felicity. Topic Thunder.
Oh, hello.
Yeah,
where were you when we needed you 2 weeks ago?
I don't know, probably on a plane, not sleeping for 24 hours.
Well, you have chosen out of canoes and chefs. You've chosen chefs. What was your story about chefs?
So I worked in hospitality for a very long time. The first job I ever had was as a dish pig. I washed dishes and then I worked my way up to short order cook because that is how promotions work. And I was working in a little deli kitchen and it was the end of the day and I was cleaning the deep fryer. Now, I have always been a very uncoordinated person. I've broken my arm three times, my right arm, same bones. And I'd turned the deep fryer off, but I was cleaning the back of it just a little bit and then someone called my name and I lost my balance and I deep fried my hand.
Oh,
yep, deep fried it and I have no scar. It was all the front of my left hand and it was wrapped up in a bandage and I have no scar at all. There is nothing funny about that, but I am basically Jesus.
You're
because
unbreakable.
I healed myself. I am unbreakable. I'm more, that's what
I mean, apart from the bones.
Made a, yeah, apart from the bones, they're very breakable.
Wow. So what happens to your hand when you put it in a deep fryer?
Yeah, what do you do next?
Or well, more like, does it melt or like what? Does it sizzle?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's not metal.
Well, I mean, it's
Have you ever burnt yourself on an iron?
Yes.
Or anything hot? It's that, but all over your hand. It's you just like at the beginning you go, oh, you say a lot of swear words that I can't say on live. Like, ah, dad, this. And then you run it under water for 10 minutes because that's what you get told. And then I thought it was fine. And then overnight it just got worse and worse and worse. I probably should have gone to hospital. And then we bandaged it the next day and I was still working on the counter. So I had this bandage and then I had one of those plastic gloves over it and it looked so skanky. By day two, I maybe shouldn't have been serving food. It was the 90s. It was a different time.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's just all a big scar glove that you're wearing.
How dare you? Are you saying that my skin is disgusting? Because that's what I'm taking from it.
No.
Hey, can I tell you another quick story?
Yeah.
This happened while I was also working in the restaurant industry. I was waitressing, moved out of the kitchen, and I was working at a big restaurant in Sydney, and we used to get tips being a runner. I started out as a runner, and for the first two or three months, I wasn't really getting them. And I went up to the manager after like 3 months and went, hey, I haven't really got my tips. And then it turned out that the general manager had been spending them on gambling.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It was like, that was big news. That and I think some drugs as well.
Could you quit that place straight up? I mean, you obviously have now, but did you stay for long?
3.5 years. I worked there for 3.5 years.
You're very loyal.
That's true.
Well, once he left, I started making really good tips. So.
Did they pay it back to you?
No. I'm pretty sure he went to jail.
Oh, well, uplifting story.
It was saucy. It was so scandalous, though, because we were just like little kids working in a restaurant and then all of a sudden so much scandal.
Yeah, who'd have known that all those awful restaurant experiences would have been made into great stories for Topic Thunder all these years later.
Topic Thunder.
I can't wait till tomorrow as well when we're going to be joined by Mike Goldstein, who's just going to have one topic.
Canoes.
That's better have a canoe. Story.
He'd better. Hey, Felicity Ward, thanks so much for coming by. You can catch her show, What If There Is No Toilet, at Acme until the 17th of April.
Also, Sydney Comedy Festival, too. Coming up
indeed.
After that. Thanks, Felicity.
Bye, guys.
It's Veronica and Lewis, Triple J.
And you're about to hear from a cat behaviourist, an all-round animal lover, and the host of the Animal Planets TV show, My Cat from Hell. His name is Jackson Galaxy, and he joins us now. Hello.
Hello. Good to be here.
Thanks for coming. So the show's been running for a few years. How did you get discovered to be on it, even?
It literally got discovered. I moved to L.A. literally just because I wanted to live by the beach. And I still, you know, the cat thing was what I did. And I also moved there because I'm a musician and I just think that it was a better place to be musically. And one person who had a friend in TV knew somebody else, watched me teach a class and told me to come on in and pitch what I did. And it was really that easy. It was pretty cool.
So how do you become a cat behaviorist?
You call yourself a cat behaviorist. Yeah. I mean, I started working in an animal shelter back in the early 90s, and I just really became fascinated with them and obsessed with them, and they liked me too, the cats. And it was really sort of a necessity thing back then. If I solved problems, the cats would go home, you know? So that was really how it started, and then I just decided that, hey, I could make a living at this, which was idiotic. I mean, there really wasn't a living to be made. But I knew that at some point people would have problems with their cats and I could solve them. And hopefully it would catch on.
Do you think you have a special affinity? Or do you think anyone could technically learn to be a cat behaviorist?
Well, I mean, I think a little bit of both. I mean, I definitely think that cats and I seem to have an understanding. Like, you know, we get each other. But that said, I think that anybody can develop the kind of feeling that I have for cats, and it just starts with being open to it, you know. And I think that that's a lot of what people lack. I mean, people think of cats as being, you know, aloof and overly independent.
Yeah, you're talking to Lewis here.
Yeah, see,
kind of snooty. Is that what you?
Yeah. Well, see, I'm allergic to cats, okay. And I feel like cats, like I feel like I accidentally read like the game for cats without doing it. And I whenever cats are in the room, I'm like, no, I don't like you. I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to stay as far away from you as possible.
Is it because you're allergic?
Yeah. And then they can sense that and seem incredibly attracted to me.
Exactly.
like I'm a bad boy asshole.
Yeah, no, but you know, the funny thing is though, it's like if you have a room full of people and one person is like you, that's who the cats are going to go to. And I actually teach people, be like a person who's allergic, because that's how you should introduce yourself to a cat. Because if you're that kind of person who goes, oh, all cats love me, and then you go over and you get over on the top over a cat and you try to pet them, they're gonna you know.
Yeah, you gotta play hard to get.
Or scratch or bite, yeah. Which is kind of hard to get.
So do you remember a particular time, like early on in your career, where you were like, yeah, I'm amazing at this?
No, I think other people would tell me. Like, you know, working at the shelter, they started calling me Cat Boy, and you know.
And now you're the Cat
Daddy. I didn't really take all that well.
Oh, you graduated.
It wasn't an easy way to get dates back then. You know? Oh, go talk to Cat Boy. But no, I held on to the belief that I was going to make it as a musician. So I just kept putting the cat thing off to the side the best I could, but then, you know, it just kept snowballing, you know.
Well, if you do have any cat questions, weird or otherwise, that you would like to ask Jackson Galaxy, 0439 757 555, and ask it now. Have you ever met a cat you didn't like?
No.
Not one?
Not
even one?
No.
Just one slightly dickish cat?
Even if they... Look, I've met a lot of dick cats, but I'm a bigger man than that. It's basically like I can see through dickish behavior, and that actually goes for humans as well. I mean, I've met a lot of more insufferable humans than I have cats, and that's because humans have a little more of a say, where, you know, you don't have to be a jerk, you know what I mean? The cats who act out that way do it because they need to, or they feel like they really need to, in order to protect themselves. So I've always been able to sort of see through that behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we're joined by Jackson Galaxy in the studio. Please send us a text or give us a call, 1-300-055-36, with any sort of quandary that isn't this one. Carrie from Perth says, my cat gets poop nuggets stuck in his butt. I have to pull them out for him. Anything but that, we'll take it. 0439 755.
That is so gross.
7555.
But I've been there.
Yeah. You're on Triple J.
Katie B, Katie on a mission on Triple J. You're with Veronica and Lewis, and you're also joined by the host of Animal Planet's My Cat from Hell, a cat behaviorist, Jackson Galaxy, the cat daddy.
That's me.
And we want to take a few questions about cats, because neither Veronica or I nor I own one. So those people who do, there are some pretty weird questions coming through.
Yeah, Kim, what's your question you'd like to ask Jackson?
Oh, hi, Jackson. I'm such a fan. No,
I actually do watch
the show, and I actually really, I've learned so much about cats, even being a cat person myself. But the question I want to ask is, there was an episode they showed on Foxtel recently where they had this guy, it was a Siamese cat, he kept escaping, he kept spraying everywhere, and the guy's going, oh, no, I can't get him sprayed because, you know, he'll lose his manhood and whatever. And I just wanted to slap the guy because he was such a douche.
Yes. So not so much a question as a statement of violence.
Yeah, well, yeah, I join you in that statement of violence. It was really one of those times where, and the funny thing is, I got to tell you, it's one of those times where, you know, you might sometimes have to stretch out a case a little bit because, you know, it's supposed to be three visits. And I walked into that house on the first day, and the first thing I saw was this cat's testicles. Like, they greeted me at the door before the cat did. They were huge. And immediately I go, "What? Why haven't you neutered your cat?" Because, I mean, the place stunk. And, of course, the cat was going out there populating the neighborhood and doing whatever. And, yeah, like you said, he said he didn't want to remove his manhood. And I had to have a sit down and say, it's the cat's balls.
Yeah.
You know,
it's projecting.
Yes, exactly. Projecting all over. And I mean, it's true. The funny thing is that these people know they're going to be on TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know you're going to be on TV and you're going to say stuff like that. And you're just setting yourself up. It's like tossing me that softball, so to speak. And that worked out well, though. Yeah. It worked out well.
Thanks, Kim. And Brody from Mackay, tell us about your cat question.
Oh, hi. Look, I'm a first cat owner. Got my first cat. I adopted him. His name's Colin. And we've had him snipped. However, he keeps on humping his wang blankie. How do I make him stop?
Another D-sex question.
Hang on, humping his what?
Wank blankie.
Oh, boy.
Did you call it a wank blankie before he started humping it? How did that start, man?
No.
Yeah, the wank blankie.
Yeah.
I would start with taking away the wank blankie, just because I wouldn't even want to. But yeah, we've had cases like that before on the show where there was this like incessant humping going on. It turns out that it can be a combination of things. One of them being this sort of leftover behavior from when he was a kitten. And it really, in order to remove the behavior, you do need to start by removing the blanket itself. He probably will stop it if you get rid of the blanket and just give him more valuable things to do with his time.
Yeah, I would counter with, what's the problem here? Let Colin have a good time. Yeah.
It's an embarrassing thing. You know, you got friends come over and the wank blankie's out.
I don't know. It's like when kids want to take their pants off. You're like, hell, you don't know what you're doing. You're a cat. Wank the blanket.
Wank the blanket. That should be a t-shirt. Wank the blanket.
Wow. Thanks, Brody.
Let's not put our values under Colin.
Oh, my God.
Keep the questions coming through 1-300-055-536. No more about de-sexing.
That is the Bennies. Detroit Rock Siggies. From their brand new album, Wisdom Machine, and Jackson Galaxy in the studio. Big fan of the Bennies.
I fully like that band.
Yeah.
I'm getting in.
Yeah. You're not alone.
When you were saying before that you played music, what sort of music? What are you talking about?
Like that.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty much, I mean, by the time I broke up the last band, it was like this weird, you know, sort of love child of like Tom Waits and Sonic Youth. It was just like, That sort of Tom Waits storytelling with a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I did.
Well, from member of a band to cat whisperer,
yes,
is a logical transition. Of course, we're getting your questions on 0439757555. Tash from Melbourne, what's your question?
My cat, when he was a bit younger, used to lick the armpits of my boyfriend's dirty chef's jackets, and I was just wondering what that was about.
So the armpits. Yeah,
the armpits. But, so the cat doesn't do it anymore.
No, not since we moved here, but he used to do it when his, his chef jackets when they're really, really dirty, like
that's
after
nasty.
A 15-hour shift.
Mm, that's nasty. but you know, I it's actually kind of a really huge compliment to your boyfriend. It's
oh,
really
great.
One of the, cats do that thing where they compliment their scent with the scent of the human. It's sort of that backhanded compliment, that sort of we're compadres type of, Veronica's got this look on her face. I don't want a cat.
accidentally couldn't hide that facial expression.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like when a cat sort of, if a cat rubs up against the leg of the couch or something like that, they get their scent on it, and it complements your scent. So your boyfriend's scent, which of course would be strongest right there in the armpit of that jacket, the cat's like, yeah, we are best buddies.
Yeah.
So he should take it as a compliment.
Awesome.
It's also like maybe just another form of a wank blankie. I think maybe just
it
everything.
Is a little.
And Isabella from the Sunshine Coast, you had a question that quite a few people were wondering about. What was your question?
Hey, guys. I was just wondering, my cat, he's about 3 years old. His name's Phoenix. And he doesn't meow. And I wasn't sure if that's like a weird thing, but obviously a few people are calling up about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not... it's not completely out of the ordinary. It depends on what their upbringing was like. And there's a really short window of socialization between the time they're about 2 weeks and 9 weeks where they learn almost everything they're going to learn when it comes to dealing with humans. So, for instance, if they weren't around humans between those ages, they may not learn it at all. Don't forget a meow. That actual sound, meow, is really just for humans. It's
really?
Not for other cats.
Oh, what? I didn't know that.
Look at that.
Is that common knowledge?
Yeah, you see?
Man.
No, it's not. But
wow.
That's why I have a job.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a really stupid question. What noises do they make when they're communicating with other cats?
It's more like murmurs. they have over 100 different vocalizations. So there's a lot of different variations. But that particular one, that two-syllable meow, seems like it's just there to get the attention of humans. And, of course, it works. So it keeps going.
Good for them.
Yeah, that's intriguing.
Well, we need to come up with a way of asking them. So that's amazing. So if they're just around cats until 9 weeks, there's a good chance they won't meow.
I wouldn't say. I mean, it's even money, but they probably won't make the sound that we're used to them making.
You know what, Jackson? I think you've just about convinced Lewis. He's intrigued and he's into cats.
I saw that light bulb go off. That's sort of, wait, if they don't make that obnoxious sound, then maybe I'll get
one. Yeah, I'm going to keep it away from me for 9 weeks and then bring it in.
Well, there's lots of big fans of My Cat from Hell on the text line. And, the Australian TV premiere is on Animal Planet, happening from July 2nd, which is awesome. Thank you so much for coming by.
My pleasure.
Jackson Galaxy. And we are joined by Daniel Fernandez to play...
Topic. Thunder.
And there was a bunch of topics to choose from. Well, three really, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was only three.
Yeah, it's the crap end, sorry, that you've come to. The difficult end. Canoes, chefs or justice you had to choose from, and you've chosen justice.
Yes.
All right. What have you got to say about justice?
When it comes to justice, people often associate the words revenge and payback. As far as I'm concerned, I think justice has many layers. For me, personally, I think justice is also about second chances. And this takes me back to a story about myself. You know, when I was much younger, I used to be part of a band, a heavy metal band back home in India. And
what were you called?
Spirathon.
Spider Thumb?
Spirathon.
Oh, Spirathon. Okay.
Spirathon, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, growing up, I was a guitarist, rhythm guitarist, and I always thought that this would be what I was going to do for the rest of my life, you know, make money, make a career out of music. But then as reality set in, once I got done with college, it just became very clear that it was going to be a very tough road ahead. And then I was forced to give up that dream, something that really, you know, crushed me at that. I was about 21 or 22 when this happened. And then I spent the next 7 years doing things that I didn't like, things that didn't make me happy. And, you know, this kind of felt like a very gross injustice because I had a certain talent and ability that I wasn't able to, you know, convert into a career. And then comedy happened in 2011. I took the decision to do comedy full time at a Metallica concert. one of my idols. So I was at the Metallica concert at a very personal crossroads in my life, and I saw James Hetfield kicking it on stage at 56. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care. The numbers work out. I'm going to do this. I went back to Bombay, quit my job the very next day, jumped into stand up full time, and never looked back. And it's been 5 years now, and here I am at one of the biggest comedy festivals in the world, talking about it on one of the biggest biggest radio stations in Australia right now. So that was my second chance, and for me, that pretty much sums up justice.
What a beautiful story.
A+. Incredibly done. Oh, my God.
Thank
that was beautiful.
You so much.
Just inspired
so much.
By Metallica. Who isn't?
By Metallica, yes. Yeah. Hopefully one day I'll get to meet James and tell him the story personally.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
Well, you are doing shows over the next few weeks. You're going to be doing your solo show on the 16th at Roxanne and on the 17th at Swiss Club.
Correct.
And then are you going to be doing any more Comedy Zone Asia shows too?
Yes, Comedy Zone Asia shows are going on right until the 17th. They're ongoing right now, Tuesdays to Sundays. Tuesday to Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 6 p.m. That's an ensemble lineup with 5 comedians. And outside of that, on the 16th and 17th, the last 2 days of the festival is when I'm doing my solo show called Unoffended. Which is a show about, you know, on my darkest material, no holds barred.
Oh, wow. Oh,
approved by my lawyer.
Yes.
And it is open to people of all ages and you know, all nationalities. So it's not just an Indian show. It's appealing to just about anybody who likes stand-up.
Yeah.
So I think it should be an interesting show. So if you're free, come on down.
Awesome. It's been beautiful to have you in the station and in the country. Thanks so much for dropping by, Daniel Fernandez.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
We are playing Topic Thunder.
Topic Thunder.
Ooh, wow, that hasn't got less intense over time.
Yeah, that was really full on.
We started off with 11 topics, and as comedians from the Comedy Festival have dropped by to have a chat, they've picked one topic each, told a story from it. Most of the good ones are gone, leaving us really with just the shitty dregs, which brings us to Guy Montgomery.
I can't wait to drink deeply from the cup of dregs that you have left me.
You're very welcome. So you chose the baby.
Yes, and I think it's important before I launch into this to note that I've got them printed out on a piece of paper in front of me here, and all of the topics are just, you know, presented as they are. But the baby, for whatever reason, has been put in inverted commas, like it's sort of it's something more than what it says.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious on your end whether or not that was a conscious decision or some lazy editor forgot to take out the inverted commas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't have inverted commas around all of them and just forgot. No, we thought it would just spice it up, you know, freshen things up.
Yeah. Well, the intrigue got me. And I chose the baby, and here I am, you know, packed to the hilt with baby anecdotes. Oh, God, I got so many anecdotes about baby. I mean, don't even let me get started because I go all day, you know, and I'm like banging on about babies. Whoo, where to begin? Babies. What is a baby but a tiny little person? I don't know. Do you find babies cute?
I find them very samey, and I feel like I find myself pretending that I have to find them cute a lot, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's it.
A lot of them come out looking weird. Like, as a parent, I don't know, I haven't had this experience yet, but I can only imagine when it comes out, you'd be like, I guess you've sort of, if you've already seen other people's babies, you're ready for it, but you'd be terrified, right? Because this is the thing that you've created, and you're like, oh, shit, I hope I created a good one. Oh, my God, I hope I got one of the cute ones. Then it comes out and it's the most alien-looking, soft, fleshy red if you're white and you've created a white baby or whatever color it comes out as. And it's just like, what is this thing? And then they'll grow up into humans like us.
Are you related to any babies? Like, do you have like a nephew or a niece or anything?
Not presently. I don't get to spend a lot of time with them, but I really enjoy it. Like, there's nothing better in the world than someone else's baby. You just swan in, you pick it up, and you go, this is so cute. I feel wholesome. I can't believe all the dastardly things I did last weekend, and they've all washed away from me because I'm holding a baby. This is new life. This is the future of tomorrow. And then it starts crying or it poos itself, and you go, hey, this isn't my problem. I'd actually quite like to go down for another drink. So could you please get the future of tomorrow away from me?
It's become the problem of today.
I can't work out the whole time if you're actually talking about the baby or, inverted commas, the baby, which is just something else.
It's about the idea of the baby, man. You got to get on the level. I don't know. I mean, what do you, babies are cool. What do you think about babies? Do you like them? Do you want to have them?
No. Broadly.
Yes. Actually, I was looking at my bucket list from when I was a teen, and it's on my bucket list.
Is it?
I was like, oh, I've got to do it.
A teenage bucket list is to have
a baby.
You're
abiding your teenage bucket. You're creating a whole human just to follow the ideas of your 14-year-old self.
Got
to
tick it off, man. Got to tick it off.
Veronica, Lewis, Triple J.